John chapter 11. We are in John chapter 11. We're picking up the text in verse 17. It says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died, but I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. We're going to stop right there. All right? Let's pray. Jesus, open our hearts to your spirit, to your wisdom, to your grace, to your understanding. We ask that you would be with us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Without a doubt, this story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead is probably one of the most powerful of all of the stories that is recollected for us here in the gospel accounts. I mean, the very simple fact that a man is raised from death to life is amazing in and of itself. But perhaps even more wonderful, I don't know, about this story as I read through it, I know we're kind of taking it in small bits here, is the fact that there's this human drama that's going on. In this story, we have these characters, these principal characters, Martha and Mary, sisters, who are even now laboring, burdened under the weight of having lost their much-beloved brother to some illness. They are distraught with the obvious loss of Lazarus. But I think perhaps each of the women are struggling with something beyond that, because when they each come to Jesus, when they see Jesus, and so far we've just read here about Martha, but when they each come to him, they confront him with their disappointment, their discouragement at the fact that Jesus is tardy in his coming to them. They had sent a message about their brother from by courier, we assume, that their brother was sick, and we found out that Jesus, having gotten the message, delayed his coming for an additional 2 days. We talked about that last week, and we talked about just the disappointment of a delayed response from the Lord. And if you want to get that CD from last week, you're sure welcome to. But the fact of that delay is obviously still stinging in their hearts and minds, and adding to their grief, you know, as they pour out their hearts to Jesus. And equally dramatic, I think, too, is the response of Jesus. I find it interesting that when Martha comes and says, you know, if only you had been here, Jesus doesn't venture a response. He gives no excuse, no explanation of why he has been tardy in his coming to Bethany. What he does do, and we'll see this as we get on in John chapter 11, what he does do is he joins them in their grief. I find that fascinating. He actually comes to a place of opening his heart in the mourning process. And even though Jesus knows that Lazarus will not long be in the grave, even though Jesus knows that Lazarus will be raised from the dead in just minutes, he enters into the midst of their mourning himself. In fact, if you'll skip down to verse 33, we're told, and this is, we didn't read this yet this morning, but we're told that when Mary, or rather when Jesus saw Mary weeping, that he wept also. It says when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and he was troubled. And down in verse 35 it says, and Jesus wept. And it's interesting to note that the words for weeping are different in these two verses. The word that describes Mary's weeping speaks of a
convulsive, you know, sobbing. And yet when it speaks of Jesus weeping, it's a different word in the Greek that speaks of a controlled weeping. He hasn't lost himself, but he is moved in his heart, in his spirit, and he weeps before these people. And just to see Jesus deeply moved in this passage by this picture of human loss and suffering ought to bring great comfort to you and I. You know, simply seeing here Jesus, the perfect example of God, and that perfect example pictured for us here, expressing his own grief at the loss that we humans struggle with and deal with on a personal level. God knows. God understands our loss. God feels those situations. I don't believe that the Bible teaches us that God is removed from our suffering. I don't believe that at all. In fact, you know, when Jesus refers to himself in the book of Revelation, as he's speaking to John to write to the various churches there in Asia Minor, you'll remember that Jesus spoke of himself as him who walks among the golden lampstands. The golden lampstands are representations of the churches that he was writing a letter to. And Jesus said, I am he who walks among the churches. I am there. I am among you. I am walking among your hurt and your issues and your concerns and so forth and so on. He walks among us. I think to some people, the idea of God feeling our sadness, understanding our grief, recognizing, you know, our issues is kind of too much for them to take, you know. The Greeks, for example, believed that God was isolated, passionless, and compassionless toward the concerns and the needs of man. But that's not the God of the Bible that we see. That's not who we see in the Scripture. We see a God who experiences our pains and issues and challenges and hurts. Jesus is the one who declared that when you and I do whatever we do or don't do whatever we do to the least of these that belong to him, he says, you do it unto me. And that's a personal connectedness with the body of Christ to the degree that he says, whatever you do or don't do, you do or don't do unto me. And you'll remember that when Jesus confronted Paul on the road to Damascus before Paul was saved, when Paul was on his way there to arrest Christians, he appeared to Paul in a blinding light that dropped Paul to his knees immediately. And when he spoke to him, and Paul said, who are you? Who are you? And remember what Jesus said to him? He said, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. He didn't say, I am Jesus, and you're messing with my church. He didn't say, I am Jesus, and you are hurting my followers. He said, I am Jesus, the one you, Paul, are persecuting. There was a personal aspect to the issue that Jesus felt to the needs of the church and so forth. So there ought to be nothing surprising here in our Lord's actions and responses in this situation here as he weeps with the sisters of Lazarus, weeps with Mary, weeps with Martha, and weeps with those who have come to mourn with them. But I think amidst it all, the most powerful statement that is made in this exchange between Jesus and the sisters of Lazarus is what we read here. If you look with me again in verse 23, it says that Jesus said to her, and he's speaking to Martha, your brother will rise again. And Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And I love this statement by our Lord. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me will live even though he dies. And I don't know, maybe perhaps the reason this section takes on a special meaning for me this morning is because this does happen to be something that the Lord has on the front burner of my own life, something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to my heart lately. This section of the story expresses, I think, in very poignant terms, the tendency that you and I have, the tendency that Martha had here at this point, to look to God for something while ignoring the reality of the person who's standing right in front of us. Here's what I mean by that. Upon hearing Jesus make the statement that her brother would rise again, Martha said, "Yeah, I know that. I know that what you're saying is true. I know that my brother is going to rise. I know that we're all going to rise. I know that there's going to be a general resurrection of the dead. I'm aware of that." And she probably thought that Jesus was just comforting her, as if sometimes the way we comfort people, you know, when a believer in Christ has gone to be with the Lord, we will say to them, you know, you'll see that person again. And it's a glorious thing to be able to say to somebody who's lost a loved one in Christ, to come to them and say, you will see that person. They're not dead. They're alive in Christ. And you'll be reunited with them one day. We believe that with all of our hearts. And I think that that's probably what Martha assumed Jesus was saying. You know, your brother's going to rise again, so don't worry, Martha. He'll, you know, I know he's dead. I know he's gone. I know he's already started decomposing there in that cave with a stone over the mouth of it. But listen, don't worry about it. The body has to die. The body has to decompose. You know, the body's like a seed that falls into the ground, and then it produces, you know, the whole thing. You know, the whole resurrection thing. And Martha says, I know. I understand that. And I know that there is going to come a resurrection at a certain time. And there will be an event, you know. And I understand that that's what you're talking to me about. That event. And see, that's what we do. We look to God many times for the things that He can bring into our lives, ignoring all the while that the one who is that thing stands right before us. And I absolutely love what Jesus says to Martha, you know, as she responds to Him this way and says, I know my brother's going to rise one day. He'll be raised in the resurrection. I know that. And I love this. And you can just, I wish I was there to see how Jesus responded to this woman. I have this sense, you know, that He looked deeply into her eyes and perhaps even reached out and took her face in His hands and said, Martha, I am the resurrection. I am He. I am the one. Do not look to me for an event. Do not look to me for something that I can give or something that I can do. I am that which you are looking for. I am the resurrection of the dead. Don't look beyond me. Don't go beyond me. Don't look toward an event or something that's going to happen in the future. And just about the time that you and I reduce our needs, you know, down to a list of things that we want or a list of things that we're praying about. Okay, God, here's the thing. Here's the list. This is what I need. This is what I'm looking for. And we start our prayers accordingly and so forth. Just about that time, God reminds us that whatever our needs may be, He is the answer. He Himself is the answer. And lest we might come to Him thinking that our need is something like, you know, God, I need love, or I need forgiveness, or I need compassion, or I need patience, or whatever fits the bill. We come to Him for those things and we say, God, give me those things. I need those things. You know, I know that you have some of those things sitting around, you know. I know you've got an abundance of them. So I need these things. So I, you know, here I am in a loveless marriage. And God, I need you to fill me with, you know, with something, you know, for this feelings for my spouse. I've lost it. And I know that it's wrong that I've lost it. And so I need to have you to give me these things. Or perhaps someone has hurt me badly. And the need of the hour in my heart is forgiveness. And so I come to God, I say, God, I need, you know, forgiveness. I need you to, you know, give me this thing that I'm looking for, because I know that what I'm bearing in my heart for this individual is not good. And so I come to you and I ask you for that, or compassion, or patience. You know how people have said, you know, be careful about praying for patience. God's liable to, you know, answer that prayer in a
in a way that you might not like. But you know, I think the point of this whole thing is that we come to Him for these things. But Jesus, I believe in my heart, Christians, wants us to come to Him not for things, but for Him. I believe with all of my heart, I am convinced within myself that if we will come to Him, we will find in Him all the things that we're looking for, that we appear to look for apart from Him, that we appear to seek, you know, even if your need today, and I don't know what your situations may be. Maybe your need today is for healing of some kind. Maybe there's something going on even in your physical body. I would challenge you, brothers and sisters in Christ, not to seek for healing. I would challenge you this morning to seek God for Himself and to be healed in the seeking. In the process of seeking His face. Do yourself a favor and look up how many times in the Bible it talks about seeking God's face. Seek Him, seeking Him. You'd be amazed. Another person might come and say to me, Pastor Paul, I've been anxious lately, worried and concerned, and I need the peace of God. And I can sit down with that person, I suppose, and I can hold hands with them and lay hands on a shoulder and begin to pray for God's peace to come into their hearts, but I would far and away rather pray for them that they might seek the face of God and that they might find the one who is peace Himself, that they might find the Prince of Peace, and in the finding be overwhelmed with peace. And not just come to God for this thing that I'm looking for, this thing that I feel that I need. And I am speaking to believers here. I believe that there is an abundance of all that we seek, but not just in the things that He gives us, in the person that He is. I've been reading the Psalms lately with a new I don't know, understanding, as the Holy Spirit has been quickening this to my heart. Suddenly I'm finding things in the Psalms that I never really noticed before. I read the Psalms where David is in great need of many things, not the least of which most of the time is protection. I mean, he's got people literally hunting him down like an animal. And so he comes to God and he wants to ask God, God, protect me. But you know what? Instead of saying, God, just give me your protection, he says, Lord, you are my shield. Rather than saying, God, give me a shield, he said, you are my shield. I come to you. I seek your face. I seek to know you. I seek to love you. I seek to have you so that I might have all the things that go along with you in personal relationship, not just the things that I'm looking for today because I'm needy. See, because there, you know, God knows that if you and I are needy, you know, He can give us those things. You know, we can come to Him. We can be sad. We can be in need of patience. We can be in need of peace. We can be in need of all these various things. And we can come to Him. We say, God, here's what I need. I need help. I need your direction. I need your wisdom. I need you to come through in this situation that's causing all kinds of problems to me and my family. I need you to settle it. I need you to work your will in the midst of it and so forth. And God can do that. But I dare say, brothers and sisters in Christ, that those times, many times that He does come along and answer specifically those prayers with the things that we're looking for, at times, you know, there's not a lasting value to those answers at times, because you and I can receive from the Lord and then we can have our things, we can be satisfied, then we can walk away unchanged. And later on down the road, we just kind of, you know, we just start getting all kind of, you know, then we're comfortable again, you know, because I've been satisfied. And I really, you know, and I'll just, by the way, God, I'll come back when I need something again, sort of a thing. Do you know how you feel when people come to you when they only are just got their hands out? Do you know how you feel about that? Listen, happens in church all the time. We have people that come back regularly whenever their needs are just rising to the surface. And you know what? We're here to love them, encourage them, and bless them and pray for them. But you know, there's a need for something that's far greater than what they think. Than their needs. There's something that's far greater needful in their life than just a few bucks for gas or for us to help pay their electric bill, or for us to just pray with them for peace so that, you know, they can kind of, okay, God, I feel so much better. I'll see you in a few months, you know, when I'm kind of starting to be needy again. The far greater need within the life of those individuals is a personal walk with Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with Him, whereby they begin to recognize Him as the one who meets their needs in relationship. And they find in Him and in that relationship all their satisfaction. And it doesn't just satisfy the need of the moment right now. It satisfies me in an ongoing fashion that continues on, that I want to be in His presence. I want to live in His presence. And I know I'm kind of taking this passage here this morning and even doing it in a slightly different way that you're accustomed to here as we're going through John chapter 11, but I just felt like this was an important word. I felt like this was an important thing to just remind us all of related to this. You know, don't worry, Martha, your brother will rise again. Yeah, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. No, Martha, I am the resurrection. Open your eyes, you know, my loving daughter, and look at me, Jesus says. I am Him. He stands in front of you. Don't look to me for something that might come possibly in the future. Don't look for me to me for just a need met. I am here to meet all of your needs all of the time in personal, loving, intimate relationship with you. I want to have that relationship with you. Not a relationship based on needs. A relationship based on love. Where I can feel you every day, every moment of every day. I don't want to be distant from you until the day of need comes to the surface. I want to have a relationship with you today, and I want you to seek my face and know me. And that's what the Lord is saying to us. Throughout the course of His word, He bids us not just to come to have needs met, but to come in personal, living, loving relationship, to hold His hand, to grab hold and never let go. Amen. Let's stand together. Now, having said that, if you do need prayer, that's okay. I don't want you to think, oh, I don't want to go down for prayer today, because, you know. Hey, listen, if you need some issue, we'll pray just for a deeper walk with Jesus. How about that? And let's do that right now, shall we? Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you so much for your grace. Thank you so much for your love. Father, I dare say there's not a one of us who can't or doesn't need to come to you even now and declare our great and personal need of a relationship with you that goes beyond the needs of the day. And Lord, we confess to you that we have come sometimes just for the need to be met. And I love how you so beautifully, so powerfully, and so tenderly drew Martha and Mary's attention away from the simple act of meeting a need over to looking to a person. You, the one who can meet all of our needs. Lord, I'm so thankful that you do that in our lives. I'm so thankful that you are the one who meets our needs when we come to you in personal relationship. I pray, my Father God, that we would just seek you for who you are. That we would open our hearts to you. Give us a new devotion, a new heart, a new desire to fall in love with you, Lord God, and to know that love that changes our lives. Fill us with your love, Lord God. Strengthen us in your love. Strengthen us in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We begin now, Lord, to understand the words of the Apostle Paul, who in toward the close of his earthly journey said only, I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. Lord God, may that be our cry as well, to know the living God and to be satisfied in the knowing. Be with us, Lord God, each of your children, I pray. Strengthen us to serve you, to love you. In Jesus' and
powerful name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a good rest of your day. You're dismissed.